raise your hand. The ushers would love to give you one. Keep Pastor Carl in your prayers. He is in Belize. He went Thursday morning. He had an awesome meeting I heard last night, ministering to people, using the gifts that God's endowed him with. He's preaching at a church in their service this morning and ministering tonight. Keep him in your prayers. That's awesome. We are on part four. Today is part four of a series that I've called, this is going to wrap it up, called A Fresh Start. So we're talking about making a fresh start this year. How many would like 2017 to be better than 2016? And we're looking at, that's awesome. Maybe we need to adjust some things and make some changes, because they say if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. Right. So if something's going to change next year, so maybe we need to look, and obviously we're on a journey, each one of us individually, to become more like Christ, so we should be changing. The thing is, a lot of times we look at change like, I want to change everything out here, and I think the number thing, one thing that God looks at is, he's looking for things to change in here. And that's something that only you can change for yourself, that only I can change for myself. And I find that to be good news because I can change me. And so I need to understand that these are the things that I need to change, and then things will change on the outside. They start from the inside. So part one, we talked about on this journey for a fresh start to make this year better than last year. We start with being a good forgetter. That was part one. If you missed any of these messages, they're on the website. You can watch them. Part one is being a good forgetter. You have to close the door on last year. Otherwise, you keep thinking about the mistakes or the failures or the things that didn't happen, and then you just live in the past. It's like driving your car in the rearview mirror. You're going to have an accident. You're going to get off the road. So we got to forget. Be a good forgetter, like Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to what lies ahead. And then part two, we talked about the six habits of successful people versus unsuccessful people. It was a scientific study. And so we looked at that. And part of that is being willing to change. So we talked about the change component in our lives. And part three was being willing to not change. Because there's some things you don't want to be just a person that wants to change everything. You need to find out what things God built into your life. So at the end of that passage in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward. He wraps it up by saying, but we keep living by the same standard to which we've attained to. So in other words, God has put some good habits in your life. Don't change those. Figure out the good habits, the good structures, the good things that you don't ever want to change. Change the things that need to change and start some new habits. So that was part three. Part four is this. This is going to be your favorite one. I'm really, really sure about that. It's called love people. Love people. I saved this for last to get you ready so you could actually handle this one. Because you know what? People are all around. People are everywhere you go. And people can be a great source of encouragement, blessing. They can be fun. They can bring laughter and companionship, fellowship, and strength into your life. But from about 40 years of counseling people, I'd say 80% of issues that people deal with have to do with other people. At the same time that people can be your greatest blessing and source of strength, they usually are what we struggle with. Some past relationship, something somebody said, something somebody did. They can be a source of anger, frustration, pain, discouragement, and hurt. There's an old saying when I was a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Everybody ever heard that? I think the devil made that up because nothing could be further from the truth. Words do have power. Words hurt you. Most of the things that I've dealt with in counseling, it's a word that somebody spoke. It wasn't people came because, you know, I broke my arm when I was 5 years old and I'm just never. No, it's like my coach said this, or, you know, one word that just changed that person's life. Words are very powerful. So most of our greatest challenges in life come from people. Jesus understood that. When this guy asked him this question here in Matthew chapter 22, it's in your notes, it'll be on the overhead. This guy, now see, the Jews, they had a lot of laws under the old covenant, Levitical laws. There was 420 laws about everything. And maybe that's what this guy was thinking, asking Jesus, you know, it's like, okay, this guy seems to have it together. And I think his question is, could you just boil it down? Give me one thing that will make me a success. I'm serious about following God. And so he asked this question here. He says, teacher, what's the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. So that's, you know, if you ever start getting frustrated in your Christian life and come back to this passage right here. We're not done with it, but that's got to be number one. Checking my relationship with God, spending time with God. Do I know God? Am I giving him my whole heart? But it's interesting. The guy only wanted one, but Jesus wouldn't stop at one, because you can't stop at one. You can't just live on an island and everything will be fine. That's our tendency, is, you know, let me just deal with God. Now that I'm saved, I don't want to deal with all these people. And Jesus understood our dilemma, and he said, now the second, I could just see the guy's face going, I just wanted one. I wanted to make it simple. Why are you giving me another? But he did. Oh, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law. Not on one commandment, on two. Now, it's important to get them in order, because what I've found, and we're going to look at this today, you really can't love people if you don't spend time with God and love God. You will get angry. You will get burned out. But when you spend time with God, it changes your ability to relate to people. So you really can't love people if you don't love God first, because you'll give up. You'll get discouraged. You'll quit. You know, I believe that here at Victory Church, we're engaged in the greatest mission and the greatest adventure on the planet. I really believe that. Winning souls, making disciples, changing people's eternal destinies from hell to heaven. What could be greater? I'm not denigrating or putting down anybody else's mission in life, but just think of what if you had the choice of curing all disease, so that people could live 120 years in perfect health. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But let's just put it in comparison, in perspective. What if I could do that, but the church stopped preaching the gospel and changing people's destinies, so even though those people had a great 120 years, when they die, they go and they spend an eternity in hell. What's more important? What's more important? Now, the good news is you don't have to stop one to do the other. You can do both. But just thinking in perspective, what's important? Changing people's eternal destiny, and it's possible. Jesus has given the commission to the church by shining your light, by sharing with people, by speaking a good word, by living the life. We're helping people. Probably everybody in this room, we were on a journey, and people influenced us to where at some point in our life, we made a decision, that huge leap of faith. We trusted Christ with our life. He forgave our sins. He changed us. He made us into a new person, and we're going to heaven instead of to hell. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And it works through people. That's the way God. So you and I have that onus and that privilege placed upon us that we can communicate the good news of the gospel. That's the greatest adventure, the greatest mission that there is on planet Earth as a church. That's our love. That's our desire. That's our mission. That's what makes me get up every morning. That's what makes people come early on Sunday, stay late on Sunday, pray during the week, do stuff. In the 17 half and a half years as a church, we've seen 1,928 decisions for Christ. People making that decision. And you know who made that possible? Every person that has given in an offering, prayed for the ministry, served on a team. That's how it works. Teamwork makes the dream work. We're all together. We have seen 1,928 people make that all-important decision. Thank God their eternal destination has been changed by the power of the gospel. That's why we do what we do every week. People's eternities are in the balance. Now, as a team, a leadership team of the church, the pastors get together every week. We talk about things. One thing we try to do is watch like leadership podcasts and stuff like that. So I like to watch this one called Willow Creek, Bill Hybels' church in Chicago. And he has a Willow Creek Association. I was watching this week a little podcast by the CEO of Ford. He brings all kinds of people in that just have nuggets. He used to be the CEO for Boeing Aircraft. Now he's the CEO for Ford. His name is Alan Mulally. And he was so excited. And what was he excited about? He said, you know, when I came to Ford, I want to know what drives this company. He said, people were excited. And he said, what were they excited about? He said, they had a vision statement, which was building the best cars and trucks in the world that people can afford. And it went all the way back to Henry Ford. When the cars were first invented, he thought, these things are great, but they're so expensive, only like 1% of the population could even own it. He said, I want to give people mobility, freedom of motion, movement. I'm going to find out how to make a car that everybody could afford. And he said, that culture has stuck with Ford all these years. And this guy was just all fired up about making cars so people could afford. And I thought, that's a great vision. But how much greater is changing people's eternal destiny? We need to realize we are on the greatest mission on earth, giving people eternal life. I got some exciting news for you. I told you at the beginning of the year, I was praying about different things our church would be doing this year, and I just felt a burden. We need to restart our college ministry. They got 50,000 students here. You know, Rebecca and I were in college ministry for many, many years. Carl and Brenda, we met them through a college ministry. We went in started different campuses, and students are on my heart. The leaders of tomorrow are on the campus today. And we've had a college ministry up until a couple years ago. We kind of shifted our focus. We didn't have the people, and I was praying. I said, God, I just felt like the Lord was saying we need to restart our college ministry. 2 days later, I get an email from Michael Crames, a long email, saying how God put this on his heart, and here's the strategy. And he said, I feel like we need to restart our college ministry. He said, if you have a leader in mind, fine, I want to help them. If you want me to lead it, I'll lead it. And so what better person than the person that had that? And so Michael Crames is going to be under the leadership of the church restarting our college ministry. He has a very specific vision. He wants to use the land, the 10 acres that we have right up here on Rocky Point Road. And even though, you know, we're not ready to build our building yet, he wants to build a structure that we won't apply for permits. It's just going to be a temporary structure, a place to get out of the rain. And we're not going to, you know, run electricity. We're going to use a generator. He has a whole plan. Put a couple lights and a sound system and a generator. We'll put some porta potties. And the college students, they love that kind of stuff. The fraternities have a big thing. They call them woodsers. They meet out in the woods. So this is just going to kind of fit into this college culture. As we get students, then, of course, you know, we still have a student organization. They can meet on campus. And by the way, anybody that has any skills, Michael and I were talking the other night, and he's like, well, I got a few materials, and I can get some people together. He says, I don't know how to build a structure. I said, I don't really know either, but I bet there's probably somebody in the church that knows how to build a simple structure and maybe has some time. So if you're at all interested in helping in that project, getting something built and probably having that going by fall semester, see Michael Crames. Why? Because we're on a mission to change people's eternal destination, even college students. And, you know, we have students, I check once in a while, sometimes there's students from over 100 different nations right here in our backyard that we can reach with the gospel. What a great opportunity to give people eternal life. People. But it's not always easy. We're talking about, that's why Jesus said the second commandment, because the mission of the church, you know, it's... In perspective, it's a lot easier to love a perfect God. And sometimes we have trouble with that because things don't happen the way we want, right? But it's a lot easier to love a perfect God than it is all us, imperfect people. You know why? Because guess what? I've got issues. You've got issues. And guess what? All God's children got issues. And you got to deal with those issues. And it's easier to love animals than it is people. We were about, I don't know, it was 5 or 10 years ago, we went for a couple day stay in St. Augustine. We stayed at a bed and breakfast there in the middle of St. Augustine. And we had just gotten there. We're unloading the car, and all of a sudden, you hear this rapid clippity-clop, clippity-clop, like a horse's hoofs, and then you hear a bang, a screech of tires, and a big boom. And there's a wall. The car's right here, and there's a wall that curves like this, and it was like right there. And, you know, we walk around. I actually think Rebecca was heading toward the bed and breakfast, and everybody comes running out. I walk around, and here's this great big black Percheron horse crunched up in the wall, pulling the cart, you know how they have in St. Augustine? And in between, there's a little gray car squished between the cart and the wall, and the horse is pinned to the wall. It's crazy. Horse is freaking out, man. He can't get up because those arms of the cart are holding him down. Well, it turns out what happened was, you know, they have the horse and buggy rides, St. Augustine. Well, this horse was done with his shift, and they took him back to his place, which is right there in downtown St. Augustine, and the lady took the bridle off and the reins and was hanging him up, and something happened and spooked the horse, and he took off, and the gate was open, so he took off without his reins, nobody in the cart, pulling his cart, still hooked to the cart, and started running his route backwards at full speed, just fast as he could trot, and people are running behind the cart, trying to catch the cart, a guy on a scooter, different people see what's happening. He's got this whole entourage chasing after the cart, and he's coming down that street, you know, those little brick roads, and a guy in a car right there on the other side of the wall saw what was happening, and he thought, I'm going to help out. I'll pull my car in front of the horse and block him, and the horse stepped around the car. But the cart hit the car, slid it sideways. That was the screeching tire. Slid it sideways into the wall and pinned him down underneath. Good story, huh? The horse's name was Jack. He survived. He did fine. We always check on Jack when we go back there. But he's down. He's freaking out, right? He's like going into shock. His eyes are big. He's trying to. And so this is a little commotion. The guy is trapped in the car because the cart is pinned the car against the wall, and there's a guy in the car that was trying to help that messed things up. And so we're over there trying to, you know, there's a few people right on the scene, and there's the horse people, and then we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. We got to get the cart off the guy, we got to get the car. And there's a lady up on a balcony over here, and she hollers down, she says, I've got 911 emergency on the phone. They want to know, is anybody hurt? And the lady standing next to me, and she looks up and she goes, don't worry about the people. It's the horse that's in trouble. Call a veterinarian. Well, we got everything sorted out. The guy was fine. Nobody was hurt. The horse, they gave him a tranquilizer. They got him up. He was uninjured. He's fine. He's still a good horse. And we stayed in the bed and breakfast. The next morning, there's that lady that said that, her and her husband. And we start talking to him, right? And she says, just, you know, as a Christian, you're always looking for an opportunity to share the gospel, see where people are at. And she says something to the effect, did she just, I hate people. I love animals. And she starts telling them about her dogs and all this stuff. Well, can you understand where she's coming from? It's easier to love animals because they don't say stuff. Even if they bite you, you forgive them. It's okay. It's all right. But they don't say negative stuff. They don't hurt your feelings. And I was just sitting there thinking, I wonder what this lady has been through. I wonder what kind of words have been spoken over her to where she hates people. That's what she said. She said, I hate people. And that came out. That's why she said that. The lady's like, is anybody hurt? I don't care about people. I'm worried about the horse. And as Christians, that creeps into our lives. Sometimes we want to live a Christianity void of people's eternal destinies because people hurt. It's easier to the second commandment isn't love your dog. It's easy to love your dog. Come on. I love that saying. It says, I want to be the type of person that my dog thinks that I am. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I go out, Bridget and Blue, my German Shepherd, my Great Dane, they go crazy. He's up, he's out, he's alive. Where have you been all night? I mean, my Great Dane, he's this big. He's a year and a half. He jumps up and spins around in the air. He's going crazy. He's howling. He's singing. He's so happy. And Bridget's like, all right, it's not that big a deal. You know, she's just like, because she's a little older. She's mellowed out. But they love me. And you know what? Animals, they just get into your heart. I remember when Max, our Great Dane, died, I'd take him to the vet and they put him down. I cried all the way from Gainesville to Micanopy. In July, my horse died. Loved Rocky, my horse. Somebody gave him to me. He's a basket case. After a year, he was the best horse I ever had. In July, he died. The vet's there. She goes, he's dead. I just busted out crying. Right in front of the vet, just busted out crying. It's easy to love animals. It's much harder with people. We've been hurt by so many people. It's hard. You have a hard time. And it didn't just start when we got cars and traffic and the internet. In fact, if you go back to the original family, the first children, the first family, Adam and Eve, their first children, Cain and Abel, they couldn't even get along. And it wasn't about the hectic lifestyle. It wasn't about we think it's so, life is so busy, you know. But here, they live as simple, as pure. At the beginning, the first two children, one kills the other one. Cain kills Abel. They get in a fight. It is not easy. That's why Jesus understood that. That's why he said, I can't just give you one commandment. I got to tell you, it's not going to be easy to forgive people, to keep getting up and putting people in front of your heart and think, I got to change, because the tendency is, I just don't care about anybody. I got Christ. I got God. I'm going to make it to heaven. Let them all go to hell. And Jesus is saying, no, you've got to love them just as much. In fact, look at it. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4. Here's Paul. He's planting churches. He starts a church at Philippi, and he writes a letter back. Look what he says here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia, I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask also to help these women who've shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is... He calls out three people by name in a church because they can't get along. And here's a solution. He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Gentle spirit. But in the church... It's enshrined in Scripture for eternity. These people aren't getting... It's nothing new. Right. And what does he say? He says, come on, knock it off. We got a bigger mission here than to be fighting about little stuff. Paul would write the same thing to every church. There's always stuff going on. Somebody hurts our feelings. He says, come on. Let's forget the past. Knock it off. People's eternities lie in the balance. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all. Does that apply to Facebook? Oh, don't shout me down now. Okay, I'm getting in trouble here. Does that apply? Let your gentle spirit be known to all. Don't let being right interfere with your bigger mission. Don't let being right. Let me just read these to you real quick. 7 questions to ask yourself before you post something on Facebook. 1, are the facts correct? Because a lot of times you just post stuff and you find, oh, that. 2, does this need to be said? 3, because I get stuff all the time from relatives. And 3, I use this, am I the one to say it? Does it need to be said? 3, am I the one that's supposed to say it? 4, is this the medium to use to discuss this subject? 5, can it wait till tomorrow? Because Abraham Lincoln, it said, had hundreds of letters in his desk that he never sent. His habit was somebody would say something or do something, he'd hastily write a letter, and he never mailed it that day. He put it in his desk, and he came back tomorrow and read it, and they said there was over 100 letters in his desk because he needed time to think about it. And he thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't say it like that. Can it wait till tomorrow? 6, this is the one that I think of. Will it hinder my bigger mission? Listen, I got lots of relatives, and they post stuff, and let me just tell you, they're wrong. They're wrong. Because it doesn't, they don't agree with me. So they're wrong. And I need to, and I know what, to, I know the fact, and I know how to lay out the facts, and okay, that's it right there. I'm not letting this, I'm going to, and then I go, this is the question I ask. Will it hinder my bigger mission? Because you know what? More important than them thinking like me, I want to spend eternity with them. And I think all the time, okay, we have a reunion every year, and I see that as an opportunity. I want them to get saved. I've got relatives. I want them to get saved. It's more important that they get saved than they think like me. And I think if I respond to this, I have just ended my ability to accomplish the bigger mission. And so I don't say anything. I don't. I've let hundreds and hundreds of good opportunities go by. Number 7, would Jesus say it? Think about that. We're not called to straighten people out. We're called to lead people to Christ. But people bite, they hurt, they sting, they offend, they make mistakes. Jesus said, love them anyway. This was written on Mother Teresa. Everybody know who Mother Teresa was in Calcutta? The orphanage, great, great woman of God. She had this written. They don't know if she wrote this, but she had it on her wall of her orphanage. It said this: people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It never was between you and them anyway. The thing is, if you don't know God, it makes it even harder to love people. If you know God, it's easier. Not easy. I didn't say it's easy, but it is easier if you know God because you think, I've been forgiven much. God's cut me a lot of slack. Of all the dumb, stupid, evil things that I've done in my life, he still loves me. He thinks highly of me. He went to the cross for me when I was yet a sinner. So knowing God makes a big, big difference. I've been forgiven much. I'm always amazed at how understanding people are of sharks and alligators and not of people. You say, what are you talking about? I saw a guy on TV. An alligator bit his arm off. Bit his arm off, his right arm. And they said, what do you have to say about that alligator? You know what he said? Oh, I don't hold anything against the alligator. He's just being an alligator. I was in his territory. He bit his arm off. He's not mad at the alligator. Grace, he's just an alligator. I saw a guy on TV. He got his leg bit off by a shark. They said, what do you think about this shark? Oh, I'm not mad at the shark. He was just hungry. I was in his territory. Right? Great. Lots of grace. And then he's driving down the road, and the guy pulls out in front of you in traffic. You lousy. We don't give people the same grace that we give an animal. We don't say, oh, he's just going to work. He's just a, bless God, hallelujah, cut me off. Oh, he said a nasty thing about me. Hallelujah, just doing what people do, say bad. We don't treat people like we don't give them the same grace we give a shark or an alligator. Come on. I'm not holding a grudge against the alligator. Animals get a pass, not people. Sometimes we're quick to judge people. When we went to L.A. to start the church at UCLA, after 2 years, I started back in school, and I was going to this college in Santa Monica, and of course, I'm always on a mission trying to get people to go to church, and there was one girl who was a small college. You knew everybody. Her name was Eva, and I thought to myself, she's the snobbiest person, because I'd say hello to her, and she just wouldn't say anything. She was always in a bad mood, and I thought, well, I mean, she was very pretty, young girl, and of course most people are aspiring actresses, and I just kind of put her in that cubbyhole. Yeah, she doesn't talk to ordinary people. She's too beautiful. She's probably an actress. And so I kind of, yeah. And one day, I'm walking across campus, and there's Eva, and she's sitting on the concrete bench, and she's got all these pieces of paper in front of her, and I just started to walk by, and the Holy Spirit said, talk to her. I said, I ain't talking to her. She don't like me. She's stuck up. And I just, Holy Spirit, go talk to her. All right, I'll go talk. So I go over and I say, hey, Eva, how you doing? She starts crying, busts out crying. She says, oh, I'm not doing good at all. She says, these are all my doctor bills. I was in a car accident. I broke my back. I can't work. I'm in terrible pain. I support my mother. Taking care of my mother. I can't study. I don't know. I just don't know if I can go on another day. She's ready to give up. Oh, my gosh. And I blurted out of my mouth before I knew. I said, Eva, we're having a church service tonight. I said, if you come tonight, God will heal you. And I said, who said that? I said, somebody else here? Who said that? Because I said, if you come tonight, God will heal you. I said, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe I said that. She said, really? I saw hope. She said, really? I said, yeah, UCLA, 7 o'clock. She says, I don't have a car. I said, I'll pick you up. Picked her up. I brought her that service at UCLA. At the end of the service, I had her come up front, and she sat down. I said, we're going to pray for you. And then I said this, and I couldn't believe I said it. I said, I'm going to put my hand on your head, and power is going to go down your back. You're going to be instantly healed. And I said, who said that? Did I say that? So she sat there. A bunch of people got around. Maybe you were there. You probably remember. She was sitting there. Eva, her real name is Evangelista. Pretty good name, right? I put my hand on her head. She screamed and jumped up. So what happened? She said, you put your hand on my head. She said, it felt like a ball of electricity went down my spine. I heard 3 big pops. And she started bending around. She says, the pain's gone. I'm completely healed. Wow. Completely healed. She got saved that night, filled with the Holy Spirit, brought her mother. Her mother got saved. Her life was changed. I almost wrote her off. Nothing is as it first appears. What you think about people is not what's going on. You have no idea what's going on in people's lives. Nothing is as it first appears. People have been beat up, hurt, wounded. Hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a deeper service. We're going to see miracles like that. God's not done doing miracles. Did you know that? He still uses people. And in 2 weeks, 6 o'clock, right here, we're going to have worship. We're going to pray for the sick. We've seen miracles. In 2 weeks, right here, we're going to have prophetic words right here. People get beat up, hurt, wounded, betrayed, stabbed in the back, abused, used, abandoned. There's a devil loose. There's a curse on the planet. Jesus was full of compassion. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal with us based on our mistakes? He looks beyond that. We have to be more like Jesus. I saw this bumper sticker the other day. I got behind his car. It said, Jesus loves you. Everyone else thinks you're a dumb donkey. And they use the Old Testament term for donkey. Jesus loves you. Some of you get that at lunch. Jesus loves you. Everybody else thinks you're a dumb donkey. How do you love people? Here's fill in your blanks. I'm almost done. How do you love people? 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. You can't love people. You can't forgive people in your own strength. You'll just get more bitter, more angry, more hard. You'll end up like that lady in St. Augustine. I hate people. I love animals. You got to find something that doesn't bite you. It hurts you and wound you. So dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So number one, fill in the blank there, number one you have to do is love God. The first commandment is still the first commandment. You can't just focus on loving people. You have to get your strength and energy and forgiveness, ability to forgive, from God. It's the first commandment. When you love God, the fruit of the Spirit works in your life. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, the first one. Joy. Peace. And it comes from within, not from circumstances. Patience. You need it. We need patience. It comes from God. Goodness. kindness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. You can look it up, Galatians 5. I think it's around verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Number two, you have to love yourself like God does. See, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. A reason that a lot of us don't love people because we really don't love ourselves. Nothing wrong with loving yourself because you know what? God loves you. It's acting like, love yourself. Forgive yourself the mistakes of the past. Agree with God. God thinks you're awesome. God thinks you're worth dying for. You have to love yourself. Forgive yourself. People, I talk to people all the time. They're beating themselves up for mistakes they made 20, 30, 40 years ago. His mercies are new every morning, folks. Give yourself a fresh start. And then you'll be able to give other people a fresh start. Number three, let God love people through you. Let God wants to love people and he wants to do it through us. 1 John 2:9, if anyone claims to be in the light but hates his brother, he's in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. So what happens? Let's read it. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness, walks around the darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Hate causes us to stumble in the darkness. Some of us, you know, we want to hang on to our hate. You don't know what they did. Once again, I say this all the time, unforgiveness is like drinking poison in the hopes that the other person's going to die. It only kills me. It only causes me to stumble. I have to forgive. You really can't love without accepting God's love. Oh yeah, you can be on a mission to save the planet, save the whales, save whatever, and that is doable. But loving people, it's not. It's not doable in our own strength. We need God's help. Let's pray. Maybe you've never really fully accepted the love of Christ in your life. Maybe you need a fresh start. Maybe you've never made this start. Maybe you've never, ever fully surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you're still beating yourself up for mistakes that you made. I made a lot of mistakes, but I let them go because Jesus came, appeared to me while I was yet a sinner. He didn't wait for me to get my act together before he showed up and told me he loved me. He loved me while I was a drug dealer. He loved me while I was evil. He loved me when I was running with the devil full speed. He came in that circumstance in my life and he said, I love you, and it broke me to pieces. And I want to tell you today, he will say the same thing to everybody in this room. I love you. I love you. Maybe you're even just struggling as a Christian. You made that decision in the past, but you failed so many times. God doesn't love you any less. He's still here today saying, I love you. I want you to succeed. Just get up again. Get up again. Hallelujah. I love what my friend Pastor Tim says. He says, I'm either up or getting up. I'm either up or getting up. Don't say I'm down. I'm getting up. Even if you're down, say I'm getting up. I'm getting up. Tomorrow's going to be a better day because one plus God makes a majority. I'm walking with God. Keep walking with God. This maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me tell you, this could be the best day of your life. Maybe you're like me. You went to church for 20 years, heard about God, knew a few things about God, but never surrendered your life to Christ. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You got to be born again. You got to surrender your life to Christ. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. You might be here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I need to be with God. There's some things I need to get right. I need to forgive some people. There's been some hurts and some wounds. Lord, I pray for everybody that's been hurt and wounded. I curse every negative word that's been spoken of every person in this room. I command those words to fall to the ground and have no effect in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you say, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I want to trust God with my life, or you want to get back on track, you say, that's me. Just slip up your hand real quick. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. I'm going to lead you. I'm just going to pray for you and lead you in a prayer. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Today is a fresh start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just slip up your hand. Let me know. Okay, this is it. It's a new start. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Put your hands down. Let me lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Listen, if you